Hey there! Ready for another deep dive?
Always ready to dig in.
Well, today we're going way back, 8th century BC Judah, to see what led up to the first temple's destruction.
Oh, wow, that's a big one. Lots to unpack there.
Exactly. And to guide us, we've got excerpts from Dr. August Conkle's lectures on Chronicles.
Excellent source.
It is. And this period, let me tell you, it's got it all. Political drama, religious clashes, you name it. Decisions made that affected a whole nation.
It's amazing how those choices, those external pressures too, really shaped Judah's fate. Even seemingly small actions, you know, can have ripple effects for generations.
Totally. And we're going to trace those ripples. So picture this. Early 8th century DC, Judah's doing great. King Uzziah is on the throne. Things are prosperous, like a golden age almost.
Right. And even up north, in the northern kingdom of Israel, King Jeroboam II, he's having success too.
Yeah, good times all around, you'd think. But then there's the prophet Amos, kind of like a voice of warning, isn't he? Especially for Israel.
Oh, absolutely. Amos, he wasn't afraid to call out what he saw. Corruption, social injustice, all hidden under this surface of wealth. The rich living it up while the poor struggled.
Yeah, a reminder that looking successful doesn't equal being righteous. So Uzziah, he's enjoying this good period, but then things shift, right?
Well, Uzziah made a decision, had big consequences, decided to enter the temple and offer incense. A role meant only for the priests.
And that was a big deal. Why exactly? Seems minor to us, maybe.
Huge deal in Judah's system. They had a strict separation, kingly and priestly roles. Unlike some neighbors, where kings had religious power too, in Judah, the king followed God's law, priests handled the rituals, kept the temple holy.
So Uzziah overstepped, blurred those lines.
Exactly. And for that, severe consequences. He got leprosy. Back then, that meant isolation, unable to rule.
Almost like a forced quarantine, but way worse socially. A big fall from grace for a successful king. This idea of separation of powers, think it still matters today?
It's a great question, and I think it does. It's different now, but we see it. Government branches, religion, and state, even within organizations. Keeps any one person or group from having too much power. Make sure different views are heard.
So Uzziah's story, it's like a reminder. Even if you're in charge, you're not above the rules. Consequences exist. With him out, his son Jotham steps up. How'd he handle this? Dad's technically king, but can't rule.
You know, from Chronicles, Jotham seems pretty capable. Managed to keep control in the Transjordan region, east of the Jordan River. Showed some real political skill there. A stabilizing force, you could say.
So the guy Judah needed in uncertain times, but I'm guessing it wasn't all easy.
No, not entirely. Right around when Uzziah died, the prophet Isaiah, he had this vision, Lord high and lifted up. Powerful, but kind of hinted at tough times ahead for Judah.
Like a warning sign.
Yeah, you can see that way. And realistically, Jotham probably ruled alongside Uzziah for a while because of the leprosy. Co-regency, it wasn't unusual. Kept things smooth, stable, despite the king's illness. But bigger trouble was brewing, and it hit full force during Jotham's son, Ahaz.
Oh, I sense a downturn coming. What did Ahaz do to set Judah on this downward path?
Ahaz's reign, that's a turning point. Things really start going downhill. We got to look at the bigger picture, too, what's happening around them. And the big one, casting a shadow over everything, was the northern kingdom of Israel falling to the Assyrians.
Wow, a whole kingdom falling. Must have shaken things up big time. How did this impact Judah?
Huge impact. The end of an era showed how powerful Assyria was becoming. Ahaz, he's suddenly in a very tough spot. This new world order, like the ground shifted under him. He was trying to figure out his next move.
So, major power shift, this Assyrian threat looming. What did Ahaz do to respond to this new reality?
Well, his choices were controversial, let's just say that. Decisions with long-lasting consequences, some saw it as abandoning their faith, their identity even.
Controversial, huh? Okay, I gotta know, what did he do that was so bad?
Well, first he brings back Baal worship, a Canaanite god seen as a huge step away from Yahweh, the God of Israel.
Not a good look, I imagine.
Not at all. And then, to make things worse, he gets involved with this ritual, passing children through fire.
Hold on, passing children through fire, that's pretty disturbing stuff. What did that even mean back then?
Yeah, we got to be careful with that one. It gets misunderstood a lot. People think child sacrifice, right? But most scholars, they say it was more of a burial ceremony for infants dedicated to other gods, burned in a special area, a tophet.
So not straight-up sacrifice, but still.
Still a big shift away from Yahweh embracing these foreign practices. A lot of people in Judah, they were horrified.
So Ahaz is making these, let's say, questionable religious choices, and he's got the Assyrian Empire breathing down his neck. What's his plan? Fight back. Find allies.
He was in a bind, for sure. Some nearby kings, they wanted him to join an alliance. Resist Assyria, right?
Yeah.
But Ahaz, he goes a different route.
What does he do?
He asks Assyria for help. Wants their protection.
That sounds risky, like inviting the wolf in to guard the sheep.
Pretty much. Short-sighted move, you could say. Basically handing over the kingdom. Assyria, they wanted the whole region. Judah was next on the list.
So this alliance, not such a great idea after all.
Desperate gamble, didn't pay off.
So Ahaz is between a rock and a hard place, and his choices just make things worse. Anyone speak up against him, offer a different way.
Actually, yeah. Prophet Oded. He gives Ahaz a real talking to, especially about taking Israelite captives, part of this deal with Assyria.
So even with everything falling apart, still people standing up for what's right? What was Oded's main point?
He says, look, the northern kingdom fell. Yeah, but those Israelites, they're still your brothers. Treat them with compassion. He calls Ahaz out for betraying family, breaking God's law.
Powerful stuff. Even in chaos, you got to hold on to those basic values. So with this failed Assyrian alliance, all the religious stuff going on, the temple must have been at a low point under Ahaz.
Oh yeah, dark times for the temple, for Judah in general. Enemies closing in, their own king turning his back on their faith. But there's a glimmer of hope. Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, he takes over. And he might just be like a second Solomon.
A second Solomon. That sounds promising. What do you do to try and turn things around after such a mess?
Hezekiah. He really understood what Judah needed. Not just military strength, but a spiritual revival. Back to their core values. So he sets out to restore the temple, bring the scattered Israelites back together under its banner, so to speak.
So more than just a renovation project, huh? Sounds like redefining what it meant to be Judean.
Right. Reminding everyone who they were, even with Assyria still a threat. Big reform program, gets rid of foreign idols, brings back Passover. This wasn't just rituals, it was identity. Being the people of Yahweh, finding unity after all the division.
National and spiritual awakening, all in one. What did he actually do to make this happen?
Passover, that was huge. Big celebration. Invites everyone, not just Judah, but those scattered Israelites too.
Whoa, inviting your former enemies to a religious feast. Bold move. You gotta wonder, was he a genius or just naive?
Bold, for sure. Challenging the status quo.
Yeah.
Saying, look, Judah and Israel, we're connected spiritually no matter what.
So did anyone even show up? Did this idea of unity catch on?
Chronicles says the response was massive. People came from all over, eager to celebrate Passover, reclaim their shared heritage. A real moment of reawakening. Shows the power of faith, how strong it can be.
Amazing how those traditions, those beliefs can bring people back together, even after conflict, hardship.
Totally. Humans need connection, belonging, especially when things are tough. But this revival, it wasn't just about the past. It was about the future, too. Building a new sense of who they were, based on faith, commitment to God's law.
So not just restoring what was lost, but creating a stronger Judah for the future. Any changes to the temple itself, its role in society?
Oh, absolutely. Hezekiah, he wasn't just about symbols. He did stuff. Big renovation project, fixed the damage from Ahaz, made the temple stronger defensively, set up a system for tithes, offerings, made sure the temple could keep running, support the priests. So
practical stuff, too, not just spiritual.
He got it. The temple wasn't just a building. It was the heart of their nation. Their faith had to be strong, financially sound, to be that center of worship, that symbol of their covenant with God.
But even with all this, they couldn't forget about Assyria, right? Still a huge threat. How'd Hezekiah balance this? Asserting their identity, but not starting another war.
And that takes us to one of the most dramatic parts of Hezekiah's reign. The showdown with the Assyrian king himself, Sennacherib.
Showdown with Sennacherib? Okay, this is getting intense. It's like little Judah versus this giant empire. What happened when they finally went head to head?
Yeah, real David and Goliath vibes. Hezekiah, all his reforms, but he's up against a superpower. Sennacherib's Assyrian army, they were brutal. Efficient. Conquered so much already, Judah was next on the list.
So what did Hezekiah do? Try to make peace? Or get ready to fight?
Hezekiah, he wasn't going to just sit there. He took action. But on multiple fronts, strengthened Jerusalem's defenses, like, you know, the Siloam Tunnel. Amazing engineering, kept water flowing even during a siege.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
Incredible feat. And he built up his army, made alliances too. Other kingdoms, they were worried about Assyria getting bigger as well.
Smart. So not just praying for a miracle, he was doing what he could.
Exactly. Faith and action, they go together. Hezekiah, he shows real leadership, strategy, determined to protect his people.
Trust in God, but lock your doors kind of thing. But I bet Sennacherib wasn't easily stopped. What happened when the Assyrians got to Jerusalem?
Oh, Sennacherib, he didn't mess around. Laid siege to the city. Things looked bad for Hezekiah, for everyone inside. Real moment of truth tested their faith and their strength.
I can't even imagine. Trapped inside, knowing the Assyrians are out there, must have felt like the world was ending. Did they surrender or fight to the last man?
Neither, actually. So the Assyrian army's camped outside the walls. And Sennacherib, he sends this guy, his Rabshakeh, like a high-ranking official, you know, to try and break their spirits.
So mind games before the real attack. What'd this Rabshakeh say?
Oh, it's chilling. Mocks their faith in Yahweh, says if they resist, things will be way worse than death.
Psychological warfare. How did Hezekiah and the people handle that?
Think about it. They're trapped, outnumbered, facing this unstoppable enemy. Talk about pressure. Real test of Hezekiah's leadership and everyone's faith. And Hezekiah, he turns to the prophet Isaiah. Needs some guidance.
When in doubt, ask the prophet. Right. What did Isaiah say about all this?
Isaiah, even with things looking so bleak, he brings a message of hope. Don't be afraid, he says. More are with us than with them. God will protect Jerusalem, defeat Assyria.
Wow. That takes some serious faith. Believing that when you're staring down an army like that, did it come true? How'd God step in?
And here's where it gets wild. The Bible says a plague ripped through the Assyrian camp. Killed tons of soldiers. The siege is broken. Sennacherib, he's got to retreat. Humiliating defeat.
No way. So this unstoppable army defeated by a plague. Talk about divine intervention, like something out of a story. The hero saved at the last second. So what about Hezekiah? What happened to him after this incredible victory?
Hezekiah, he kept ruling for a while, rebuilt Jerusalem after the siege, expanded the walls, made the water systems better, encouraged farming, kept up his religious reforms too, made the temple central to everything. He left a real legacy. Warrior king, but also a builder, a reformer, a bright spot in a really tough period for Judah.
Seems like he learned from the past, wanted to create a Judah that was stronger, more faithful. So after all this, what's the big takeaway? What stands out to you from this deep dive into the first temple's demise?
You know, I think Hezekiah shows us that even when things are impossible, faith, bravery, good leadership, they matter. He left Judah more united, stronger in their faith. This whole period reminds us that even when all seems lost, there's always hope for renewal, change, a better future. We see what happens when you abandon your values, like with Ahaz, and then the power of faith in action, like with Hezekiah facing Assyria. It's a story that still speaks to us today about leadership, about faith, about the human spirit, never giving up.
Powerful stuff. We've seen good times and bad, empires clashing, faith winning out, explored these kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. What a journey through 8th century BC Judah. It makes you think, how do our own beliefs, our values get shaped by the world around us? What are the temples we hold dear? What are we willing to stand up for, even when it seems impossible? Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep.